This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. How do you come by your beliefs? I mean, how does a faith in a leader, for instance, shape those beliefs? This season, a rotating pair of performances from Playmakers Repertory Company delves into faith and following and explores what happens when faith falls apart. In the production of The Christians, a pastor at a megachurch changes his mind about hell, and church members are left to re-examine how they came to their own versions of the truth. And in Molière's Tartuffe, a charlatan makes a show of piety to satisfy his base desires. Both plays open at the Paul Green Theater in Chapel Hill this Saturday. Joining me in the studio are some of the people who helped put the program on at this at the stage in Chapel Hill. Preston Lane is the director of Playmakers production of Christians. He's also the founding artistic director of Triad Stage in Greensboro. Preston, welcome back. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
David Ball is a playwright and a director. He adapted Molière's Tartuffe for Playmakers. David, welcome.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And joining us in the studio are actors Joey Collins and Namuna Cisse. They are both in the productions, acting in this production. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Preston, let me start with you and talk about this play, The Christians, a contemporary play set in a megachurch. Tell us more.
It's a remarkable new play by Lucas Nath that I got to see in New York a couple of years ago, and I don't know why I bought a ticket. The Christians is a title that can be a little off-putting. It comes with a whole lot of baggage, and I've seen an awful lot of plays that sort of bash the idea of faith and the idea of people who have faith. And I assumed I was going to be seeing a play like that. And I was totally surprised and shocked to see a play that was completely different. In fact, I was thinking, I have directed an awful lot of plays in my career, and almost all of them are about people who tell lies. And this is, I think, the only play I've ever directed in which everyone all the time is telling at least what they believe to be the truth.
So tell us more about this play. Who are the characters?
Well, the characters are five people who are involved in this megachurch. First of all, there's the pastor who founded it. There's his wife. There's an associate pastor who recently joined the church and made a profession of faith. There's an elder who's sort of a board member of this great corporation of this megachurch. And then there's a congregant who's found great a community and love and support within the church. And the day that the pastor stands up and says that there is no hell, all hell breaks loose. And we see that everyone in the play has a completely different response to that, and relationships change. But I think the play is not just about the question of is there no hell. The play really is about how do we live together in a world where all of us think that we know the truth, and Facebook and Twitter and all the other things in our lives are now making it so that we surround ourselves with people who agree with our version of the truth.
Well, also, it seems to call into question how we came by those, not just how that we know what is true, but that we believe certain people and will continue to believe in them. And when our faith is shaken in them, a lot is at stake.
It certainly is. And it's about then how, when that happens, how do we reach beyond those things that seem to divide us and figure out how we find a common humanity?
So, Joey, you play the role of Pastor Paul. Give us a sense of what he's like. Tell us more about his character.
Well, Pastor Paul is a guy who has great conviction, and he's been holding on to a truth, I think, for a while. And he is a man that truly believes that God speaks to him. And he has been leading this church. He started this church, started with storefront church, you know, 10, 15 people. And then it ends up becoming 3,000 people. And so he has led these people. And, you know, he's a type of person that he's not risk averse. He has taken risks in the past, and he is taking a risk here. And I'm not quite sure he knows the cost of what that risk is going to be. Because when someone genuinely believes and authentically believes that God is speaking to them, and if that person is a leader of others, then he must share the good news. And that's where Pastor Paul is as we begin this play.
I love having actors on the show because I get real insight into these characters when they tell me how they prepared for it. If I could ask you that, because again, here's a character, as Preston says, you know, we think that they're always telling the truth the whole time. And if his ideas change, we assume he's being honest about that. Sure. What do you have to do as an actor to prepare for someone who has You've already met them. You know how this thing is going to end. How do you prepare for this character who goes in transition like this?
Well, I think for me, it's two ways of preparing. One is the preparation that happened before I got here, before rehearsals began, before I started working and memorizing the lines. And that preparation is sort of doing the research and the sort of nerdy work of what it's like to be a pastor, what that means. I watched a lot of pastors on YouTube. I sort of remembered from my own past. And so there's that kind of work. And then there's the other kind of preparation, which is I've got to check myself at the door. I'm playing someone who is different than me, who has a set of beliefs that are a little bit different than mine. And I've got to fully immerse myself into that. And in a way, it costs me something when I, you know, walk through that door. Mm-hmm. And I believe, as an actor, to be truthful. And this pastor is someone that, you know, is trying to be the most truthful to his flock, if you will. And when those two things collide, it's just pure authenticity is what I'm striving for. And So
we're talking about a very recent play, The Christians. Now let's go back a few centuries, David, and talk about Molière's play, Tartuffe, which is also an examination of hard-held convictions. Tell us more about that play.
And it is. It's an examination of hard-held convictions. It is not similar to what Preston was saying. It's not its reputation, which is that it's religion bashing. It's bashing the misuse of. Molière was very interested in entertaining people, and Molière really wanted to be a tragedian. He wanted to write tragic plays, and he did, because when someone is called monomania, when somebody carries something to the extreme that the husband does in this play, the father of the family, in his attempts to protect and save his family, he latches onto this religious charlatan without realizing, of course, that he's a charlatan. So it's not about criticizing religion even remotely. If anything, it's celebrating it. Yeah. But it's about what happens when people use our values in fake ways and others grab onto them. When people use values like religion or patriotism or love of family, or in the other plays of Molière's, you get obsessed about your health, or you get obsessed about money. That's what Molière was up to. And he did a thing that makes his comedy very different from, say, a Neil Simon. What Neil Simon put on the stage was stuff that the audience came in already agreeing with. And what Molière, or any most great artist, I don't mean to say Simon is not, he is in his way, but when you confront the audience with what they themselves might be doing, and in fact with Tartuffe, unexpectedly, it's an extremely topical subject. And it's not just for people who support Trump, it's about people who are as violently anti-Trump. We are so extreme that we can't acknowledge Trump does anything good, just like the people on the other side can't acknowledge. And that's where we all get in a lot of trouble. That's the play.
Well, and that, yeah, I was going to highlight that. We can certainly excoriate the charlatan and look at them and say, shame on you for taking advantage. But this play does very much indict those who hold those beliefs so tightly that they refuse to see the truth. And then can be easily misled because the truth is this thing they hold is truth. It's more important to them than anything.
And take away what Molière does towards the end of the play to make it absolutely real life, and what he does toward the end of the play is not real life. So he's showing the catastrophe that happens, and then he comes up with an isn't it pretty to think so kind of closing, with the implication, which we've exploited heavily with some stuff at the very end, that this ain't over. It's a very scary play in that way, in the midst of all the laughter. And some productions have made the mistake of turning it into nothing but a farce. Mm-hmm. And I think Saheem and the actors, particularly the two in the room here, and Ray, who plays the husband, the father, did not fall into that trap. There's a scary thing going on under the surface even as we're laughing our way all the way through the
show. How was this play received? You talked about the misinterpretation of this as either a farce or somehow anti-clerical, anti-religious.
It was received as an attack on religion. Yeah. You cannot make jokes about something that people deeply believe in and walk away unscathed, even if it's pointing to people who go too far with it. Take, for example, the Me Too. You cannot make jokes about the Me Too movement without getting yourself a lot of criticism, even though you're not criticizing the Me Too movement. You're making fun of people who are doing things wrong with it or exploiting it for the wrong reasons, but you can't do that. That's why so many comedians these days will not, for example, go to an American campus, because you can't make 90% of the jokes that most of the best comedians make on a campus without getting literally things thrown at you. People do not like the things they are feel extreme about, and sometimes there's good reason for that. They don't want that attacked. And when it's not only attacking the people who are not only attacking your religion, but you're attacking it among the classes who are more or less the powerful or semi-powerful, you ain't going to get buried in the churchyard.
Yeah, that's, as Molière did not.
Yes.
Although that was, I guess, because he was an actor, not because he was probably a million reasons.
Even with the continual support of the king, he couldn't get the play. Wow. And this play, Tartuffe, was originally banned. And
well, let me, Preston, let's get back to you and the Christians. And I want to do a couple of scenes. We'll do one from the Christians in just a second. But I want to talk about your reaction, because you went in, you saw this play in New York. You thought, oh, God, they're going to bash the Christians again. But it ends up being an indictment on ideology and the way we latch on to ideology. Did it force you or allow you to review and re-examine the way you come to your ideas and how you hold your ideas?
Definitely. You know, I thought when I was watching the play, Lucas Nath is an Ibsenite, and I think he proved that because his next play was Dollhouse Part 2, because I felt that I was watching a riff on Enemy of the People.
You're talking about this is the playwright.
Right, who wrote The Christians. The Christians is a riff on Enemy of the People, you know, where Dr. Stockman comes out and says that the town's water supply is poisoned, and everyone goes crazy and seeks to destroy him. So I think that there's a... I think there is something so fabulous about plays that don't tell us what to think, but actually encourage us to have the second act in the car ride home and the next day as we think about it. I've thought about this play probably every day since I saw it, because the complexity of these issues go to the heart of my own journey with faith, my own journey with who I am as an artist, my own journey with what it means to believe something in the face of people who hate you for believing that. So it's a play that is unsettling in that way, I think.
Namuna, let me ask you, you play the pastor's wife. We're going to do a scene in a minute. Tell us more about your character. And the fact is, she's really in the vanguard, right? She's in the front lines of this revelation that her husband and the pastor of this church suddenly doesn't believe in hell.
Right. And not only that, but, you know, she started this church with her husband, right? She is his partner. And so when he has this huge revelation, when God speaks to him and tells him this thing, right? And he doesn't ask her, he doesn't tell her, he just makes this choice. It's troubling for her beliefs, and it's also troubling for her marriage, right? She's very passionate. She's very dedicated. And I think she's used to going along with him and following him because she thinks that he's magnificent. And then when he makes this choice, she's really struggling with, like, her love for God and her love for her husband, right? And, like, what is more important in this moment? How does she speak her truth when her truth has been so tied to her husband's truth for so long? So she's really finding her voice, I think. And it's very scary. The stakes are very high.
Will you and Joey do a scene for us? And maybe you'll have to set this up.
Sure.
Sure. You want to set this up?
Sure. This is about halfway through, a little over halfway through the play. And the husband and wife are in their bedroom. And it's the first time that they have spoken about the sermon. And it's been quite a time since that happened. Many, many different church services since then. And it's the first time they've really talked about it.
I think if you were to speak to the women in your group, it could do a lot to help them see the value in what I'm talking about. I think it could help keep more people from leaving the church. It's starting to feel sort of like our church has sprung a leak.
You want me to help plug up the leak?
I could help you, prepare a message for you, show you the verses that will help them understand what I'm saying.
But what if it's better that the people who are leaving just go ahead and leave if they're not inclined to go along with the change?
I think they just don't understand the change.
What is there to understand?
I don't want people to leave.
There were some you wanted to see go.
Of course not.
You were happy to see Joshua go.
Okay, well.
You've been wanting him to leave for a long time. You and Joshua have been preaching different things.
It was a problem that needed fixing.
And those 50 who sided with him, those 50 who sided with Joshua, you are also happy to see them go. Come on now, admit it.
In order for a tree to grow, some pruning is necessary.
An amputation so that the rest of the body doesn't get infected.
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
You're saying that absolute tolerance requires intolerance of the intolerant.
In some cases, yes.
That's a scene from the play The Christians, performed by actors Joey Collins and Namuna Cisse. Christians on stage at the Paul Green Theater in Chapel Hill starts Saturday in rotation alongside Molière's Tartuffe. And in the studio is the director of Christians, Preston Lane, and also playwright David Ball, who adapted Tartuffe. And you're listening to all of that on The State of Things. So there it is. This brings it through. And Preston, as you said, we're at really, this is a play in one act, and we're going to take the rest of this play home with us, right? And,
that's right. Yeah. It does a thing that a lot of theater doesn't do. It doesn't tell us what to think, you know. And I think so much of American theater, particularly, really does speak to its audience and says, "I agree with you. Mm. I support you in your beliefs." And I am really fascinated by theater that goes into a community and says, here's an issue. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it.
David, what's the balance here? Because on the one hand, you want a playwright to be convicted, to be convinced, right? And Preston was just talking about having ideas that are, you want to go through life believing in something, right? On the other hand, we now see the danger in hard-held ideology. So what's the role of the artist in presenting something that's concrete but open-ended?
I resist phrases like role of the artist because I don't think there is a role of the artist. I think if an artist is good, the artist is his own role. I do not like the idea of plays that tell audiences what to think. You can dress a monkey up, dress a professor up as a dancing monkey. He's still a professor. And if you want that, go to college, go to high school. That's not what people go to the theater for. They don't go to be entertained with great ideas. They go to be entertained. And one of the things that is very entertaining to a lot of people is the exploration of ideas. In my other life as a trial consultant, we know that the strongest way to persuade is to let people come to their own conclusions. Give them the materials you think they need to come to the conclusion you want them to come to, and most of the time they will. It's better than saying what to think. A good playwright, some, like Shaw, will give you every single point of view and then favor the one he likes by the end of the play. I don't think there's anything very controversial intellectually about Molière's notion about don't go too far with anything. So I don't know that there is a role for the artist. I do like the play that when people walk out, they are not talking about the sets and costumes as wonderful as they are for these shows. I've never seen anything like this at Playmakers. Any place that is, it's startling. But they're talking about the ideas and the plays, then it's successful, and that really is the true measure here.
David Ball is a playwright and the director who adapted Molière's Tartuffe for Playmakers.
Not the director.
That's a playwright
and adapter.
Yeah. Well, the TOR part, we got close. Preston Lane is the director of Playmakers production, The Christians, also the founding artistic director of Triad Stage in Greensboro. Good to have you here. Joey Collins, Namuna Cisse, our actors. in both The Christians and Tartuffe. We didn't get you the scene from Tartuffe, so you'll have to go to Paul Green Theater at Playmakers, and you'll have to see that. The two plays are in rep at Paul Green Theater starting Saturday, February 10th. They run through March. We've got the information at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a story of two brothers who served in the same infantry unit in Vietnam, but only one of them agreed with that war. We'll talk about that on the State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned.